listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in this child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At the moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you. In the name of our risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. So the older I get, the more convinced I am that Christmas is a young person's game. I think that we peak at about 4 years old when it comes to experiencing Christmas. At that age, everything is wonder and awe. That's certainly true for all of the elements of cultural Christmas. Santa Claus and Christmas presents and snow and cookies, it's all joy to a four-year-old. Our sacred traditions also seem geared toward the littles at Christmas time. Many churches in America have a long-standing practice of the children's Christmas pageant. In some congregations, the Christmas pageant even stands in place of the sermon on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. We dress our preschoolers up as tiny shepherds and wise men and angels and stars, and they become the heralds, sharing the good news of Christ's birth with all. Abiding Hope had a children's Christmas pageant at our Advent Fest the first weekend of December, and it was holy chaos. Imagine about 800 or 900 people in this room. Most of them about this tall, and all of them jacked up on sugar and adrenaline. It was something. One of our Saturday night regulars didn't get the memo about the Advent Fest and showed up expecting the usual Saturday night worship. I watched this person walk halfway down the aisle, look around, turn around, and leave the building, not before handing me their offering check on the way out. And I wanted to yell after them, "Take me with you!" But they were already like peeling out of the parking lot. Like I said, the older I get, the more I wonder if maybe this Christmas stuff isn't for me anymore. Santa Claus and Christmas presents and snow and Christmas cookies just seem like a lot of work now. And my kids are well beyond those cute pageant days. If I feel like this now in my 40s, I wonder how I'm going to feel when I'm even older, in my 60s or 70s or 80s. And as I consider that question, I'm thankful that our text for this week, for the sixth day of Christmas, is the story of Simeon and Anna. Our gospel reading says that there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout, and that the Holy Spirit rested on him. Simeon was an old man, but God had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. Likewise, there was a woman of great age, a prophet named Anna, who also worshiped in the temple. And when these two elderly people first saw Jesus, they knew that he was the Christ, the Messiah who had come to save us all. Aging is not easy. Many of you have shared this truth with me as I have visited you after surgeries or during sickness. The passing years can bring physical pain and dulled senses. They can bring confusion and isolation, and they almost always bring grief upon grief upon grief. Aging is not for the faint of heart. And if you add to that a nagging thought that maybe the world has passed you by, that you are no longer needed, well, that's a recipe for despair. But the story of Simeon and Anna remind us that the most aged among us are a treasure. Our elders see things, know things, understand things that the rest of us cannot yet grasp. And if you are one of our older adults, I hope you know that you are a gift to us. I dare say that you are the heart and the soul of the church. Our older members support our ministry with their generosity. Studies have shown that it takes 7 people born after 1964 to replace the giving of 1 person born before 1964. Isn't that incredible, the generosity of our older generation? Our older members share their time and talent in so many ways. It's you who serve as our altar guild and our worship servants, as our care ministers and our bread bakers and our funeral hosts and so much more. Their testimonies and life stories remind us that God is faithful in good times and in bad. They show us that the worst thing that happens to us is never the last thing that happens to us, because God's promise of love and life always prevail. So if a voice ever whispers in your ear that you no longer matter, you say, "Get behind me, Satan, because I am a beloved child of God now and always." After the 84-year-old Anna met the baby Jesus, she began to preach about hope and redemption. And after the aged Simeon met the baby Jesus, he prepared to die. And both of their responses were faithful. As Simeon held the newborn Jesus in his arms, he prayed, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to your people Israel." Simeon's proclamation and prayer is still used today at the time of death in a rite that we call the commendation of the dying. We have rituals in the church that mark time and remind us of God's enduring presence. Infant baptism is one of them. But when a person of faith is nearing death, we mark the sign of the cross on their foreheads, just like we do in baptism. And we pray Simeon's prayer, "Lord, let your servant go in peace, for our eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon and Anna will not live to see the resurrection. They will not see the hope of their restoration fulfilled. But that doesn't seem to bother them. In a way, they're like Moses, looking over the promised land that they will never inhabit. But that's the case with all of us. We hope for peace on earth, but we are far from it. We hope for an end to injustice and oppression, but we're not there yet. We hope for a day when hunger and poverty will be no more, but that's not our reality. So we stand at the edge of that promised land, and we work each day to try to move just a little bit closer to those hopes so that it might be fulfilled for the next generation, or the next generation, or the next. Martin Luther once said, "If I knew that the world was to end tomorrow, I would plant an apple tree today." And that's the wisdom that our elders understand, and that they live out each day in their faith life. I think Simeon and Anna are as much part of the Christmas story as the shepherds and the magi. Yes, they encounter the Christ child in the temple rather than the manger, but they know immediately what his birth means, not only for themselves, but for all of the world and for all generations to come. They help us understand that. So maybe Christmas isn't a young person's game after all. Presents and pageants aside, Christ was born to save us all, to give us hope and peace in this life and the next. So whether you're 4 or 104, I wish you Christmas joy and Christmas peace and Christmas hope this day and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.